Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Burke tries again, and there's a ball driven deep out into left field. Carter going back. He turns to look, and it is off the wall, the back wall. Home run for Trevor Story. He cleared the front wall, didn't quite make it into the people. For Story, a two-run blast that gives Boston a 6-1 lead.
Not much to cheer about last night. Hixey with the call to game you heard right here in the Rangers exhibition game against the Boston Red Sox. They lose 9-2. They get another one today, this afternoon. And then the opener, the big opener in a game you can hear right here on Thursday night. Pre-game starts at 6 o'clock. G-Bag Nation will be out at the ballpark for that one.
Boy, it is a
show from out there.
It is a week full of events. We got KNC at Rally House on Wednesday. They're going to be in Mansfield off 287. Right, then sir. Thursday, we got G-Bag out there at the ballpark, like you just said, 2 to 6 p.m., taking you up to Rangers baseball against the Cubs. Friday, KNC's out at Buffalo Wild Wings on Lemon, just around the corner from us over here. And then Saturday, it's Alec Medford and Blake Elliott. They will also be out at the ballpark 2 to 5:30, taking you up to pregame of Rangers-Cubs for the second game of the year because they're getting that, you know, they have the opening day and then they get the day off.
Yep. Tomorrow, we're going to be giving away tickets to the Astros series.
Hunted level.
During the expressway.
Hundo P.
So that's going to be very cool. Yeah, Hundo P. The Hundo P level. So Mavericks get a 10-point victory over Utah. They're in the seventh spot. They're tied technically with Sacramento, who is in the sixth. But Sacramento's got a tiebreaker. They got a back-to-back with them coming up, so that should take care of itself.
You can get some. You can get some space there.
Separation.
Yes, and look, it's just a good thing Dallas took care of business last night because you didn't want to drop a game against the Jazz on the same night that Phoenix is losing to the Spurs. Like, take advantage of that gift and get some separation.
Yep, you can. You can absolutely get some separation there. I want to update you real quick on this, the bridge collapsing in Maryland. The Francis Scott Key Bridge, a Singapore ship struck it, a cargo ship over 900 feet long struck it, and the entire bridge basically collapsed, about a mile, they say.
And it was just... He hits this bridge. It doesn't look like he hits it very hard. And within a
10 seconds,
within 10 seconds of running into a beam, what looks like just bumping into, obviously it's much harder than that, but on the footage, it looks like just bumping into a beam, basically. It takes down a mile-long bridge.
It's crazy.
In Baltimore within 10 seconds.
Well,
the whole thing just collapses.
So, according to reports, there were about 20 people on the bridge at the time. Seven cars, five construction workers. They're saying the ship lost power. And
yeah,
that's
you can
why.
See you can see it go dark in the last 20 seconds leading up to hitting it.
They're saying the ship lost power and it just kind of floated into the bridge. I can't believe it collapsed that way. With it's not a love tap. It's obviously it's a multiple
it's a big, powerful
it's a
ship.
Thousands and thousands and thousands of pound ton shrimp. Ship. Not shrimp, ship. And it's huge. So it's still, either way, the fact that this thing collapsed, it's tragic.
It is some of the most insane footage I've ever seen in my life.
It really is. the most insane footage I've ever seen was Shohei's press conference yesterday. On the flip side of this, on the sports side, the not real life side, the not tragic side.
Yes.
Is Shohei's press conference where he said he didn't do it and they got money stolen and he's never bet on anything. That is contrary to the speakings of one Brandon Lang. Who is Brandon Lang? Brandon Lang is the guy they made the movie Two for the Money after.
Which John I've never
Anthony.
Seen.
That's a Matthew McConaughey.
But I've never seen it.
And Al Pacino. He's John Anthony. That's Brandon Lang. So he's a world-renowned professional gambler.
Was that your Pacino impression?
John Anthony. Yeah, kind of.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I haven't.
Is it a little more raspy? John Anthony.
Yeah, I haven't really workshopped.
I haven't either. I'm just saying it feels like it's a little raspy.
I've been working on taking it back. Okay. I take nothing back. Everything I've said is the truth.
What was your favorite quote from yesterday? When they asked him.
Oh my God! They asked him how he's going to pay for his bond. He turns around and goes, "Cash."
Cash.
Oh my God.
What? Hey, regardless of where you fall down, that's an objectively funny line.
It's funny. It's very funny. It's like, what are we doing out here?
Cash.
Cash.
Gonna use gold bars. Bullion.
Cash. It's all bank. Cash. So, Brandon Lang is on the Sports Junkies in D.C. They're our sister station. And he said this entire thing is BS, that Shohei's number is not $4.5 million that he's betting.
I met Bauer like 4 years ago.
All right, real quick. Stop. So he's talking about Matt Bauer. Matt Bauer is the guy that is being investigated by the FBI, by the feds. He apparently is the bookie.
Now, the bookie.
Now, here's even a side spot of this. There's a casino in Vegas that is under federal investigation because of this called Resorts World. It's a new casino. And they're apparently somehow intertwined with all this. Like, I don't really know how the depths of it, but that was the report I saw last night.
Interesting.
Very odd. I know nothing about it. I don't know more of it. I just saw that the feds are investigating that casino because of some workings with this Matt Bauer guy.
I met Bauer like 4 years ago here in Vegas passing. I knew he was a bookie, knew he lived in Orange County. He's absolutely out of his mind, personality-wise, party-wise, whatever, whatever. Met him in passing through mutual friends, so I know who he is. About 3 months ago, my very best friend, who I go to L.A. and play golf with all the time, stay at his house. I've known him for literally 24 years, calls me 3 months ago and says, bro, do you know a bookie named Matt Bauer? And I said, yeah, I met him like 4 years ago in Vegas. He's absolutely out of his mind. I just play golf with him. And the feds are after him. And I asked him, who is your biggest client? And he told me it was Otani. I go, get out of here. He goes, nope. And I said, how much? I'm not going to give you the number, but I will tell you the number is between 7 and 25 million, and it's only soccer, and that's it.
Well, that's a you better be really comfortable saying that into a microphone.
Yeah, this guy could be a complete, and he is probably a complete lunatic. This could be completely fabricated. He could be just lying out of his teeth. No idea, but, like, you know, and this is kind of the problem is that
if it's not true, somebody will come for you for that, though, for saying something
right.
Like that.
And you know if something's not true based on whether there's a lawsuit or not. If there's no lawsuit, you know it's not true. Or you know it's true, right? And if there is a lawsuit and how hard they come after you, then you know. So this is like pretty wild, like that this guy even went on there and said all this. So he continues. Brandon Lang talks about the raid and the betting history.
Everything gets raided, so he loses everything. The feds come in and take everything. So they get his phone, and they go through his phone, and here's all this stuff in Japanese through the interpreter. So the feds are like, "What's this?" And he goes, "Well, it's." And Bauer tells the true story to the feds. It's Otani. It's Shohei Otani. He's into me for X, and that's what that is. So now the feds are, biggest face in baseball right now. What are we going to do? So now they go to Otani's people and his agents, and they concoct the story that says, listen, this guy doesn't speak any English. He never talked to a bookie. Mm-hmm. His interpreter is his interpreter. Mm-hmm. His interpreter stole the money. His interpreter did this. His interpreter did this. And the interpreter is the fall guy for all of this. Mm-hmm. But it's 100% Ohtani.
Again, they've come out this aggressively so far, Ohtani, and he's lawyered up and bringing things involved. That's I respect at the very least the
hot take
stones to say that it. If you think it or if you believe it, but man, that's a sincere allegation levy there. If this is all correct, it doesn't matter that it's just soccer or whatever else. Ohtani would be, I think, viewed very unfavorably moving forward. What is baseball's rules about betting? Are you allowed to bet on other sports? Like NBA lets you bet on other sports, I think.
I don't know the rules on that.
I'm going to look this up.
So, like, football allows their NFL players to bet on other sports as long as it's not inside the team facility. To me...
Well, here's the thing. This is where he would get in trouble, I guess.
He's
this
an doesn't illegal bookmaker?
Yes. That does, because he does not sound like he's...
Now, and this is where the casino in Vegas...
It says you can bet on games other than baseball and softball.
Yeah.
Betting can be done, but it has to be through legal means.
All right. Now, here's the question. Because remember I mentioned Resorts World and those casinos over there in Vegas. And that's all part of this. What if this guy is taking the money and going to Vegas to place bets for him, which would be a legal bet?
I think Major League Baseball, if that's out now, Major League Baseball would still find a way to get him for that.
Yeah, they opened up an investigation. I'm surprised they even bothered because I don't think they want to know. Unless they already know.
Either way, because don't ever ask. What do people say? Like, don't ask a question you don't know the answer to.
Don't ask a question you don't know the answer to. And don't ask a question you don't want the answer to.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
They may already have the answer, good or bad. They just know this is already established. And so we've got a
couple things here with this.
What was your sense of the Ohtani press conference, by the way? Did you come away believing him any more or less?
I didn't. Absolutely not. I came away thinking with nothing. Like, he offered nothing. I didn't gain an extra opinion or reduce one.
Confirmation, nothing.
No confirmation.
No change at all?
No, because there's still two questions that I need to know the answers to. One is, how did Ipe Mizuhara have access to the account? And two, how did Shohei or his bank or his money manager or his accountant not know that $4 million was gone? Yeah. Now, I know he makes a lot of money. Know $4 million is gone.
Unless Ipe was somehow involved in his charities or his, managing
Shohei
his money.
Shohei thought he was paying for something else. But that still doesn't answer the question, is if it was Ipe, how did the bookie give him that line of credit? Because he would not have. He would not give a guy who makes $300,000 to $500,000 a year the ability to run up a $4.5 million tab. And if he did... He's the dumbest bookie ever, or the worst. And if he didn't allow him to, then Ipe would have shown up with a broken thumb somewhere if he didn't pay it off. Unless the bookie knew that Shohei was the money behind it, or it was actually Shohei placed the bets. Now, maybe Shohei was just like, I'll do him a solid. And maybe Ipe, like, fraudulently signed Shohei's name or something, or got him to agree to it with Shohei thinking it was something else for a charity. Or
man, brand. they were very... They are very close.
They're best friends.
Yeah, because he was, like, I didn't even realize
you know
this.
Best friends into money?
I didn't even realize this. Like, Ohtani, they used Ipe as his, like, catcher for the home run derby.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, that's the kind of relationship that they had. But, see, now we've got stuff coming out here that, like, he claims he was a graduate of UC Riverside.
Which is a lie, apparently.
Which is a lie. And so, like, I mean, it also sounds like this guy might just be a professional con artist.
He might be. He might be.
Man. It was previously reported that Ipe worked as an interpreter for Hideki Okajima with the Red Sox from 2007 to 2011. However, in March 2024, the Red Sox declared that Mizuhara was never employed by the Boston Red Sox in any capacity. So he's falsified his resume a ton.
Oh, he's a liar. This guy's a piece of work, man. This guy is a piece of work. I don't know what's going to happen here. I do know one thing. They'll never be able to prove it, I don't think. They'll never be able to prove it. Brandon Lang says so.
There's no way they can connect Bauer to Ohtani. It's impossible. It's Why? Through the interpreter. Because Ohtani doesn't speak English.
He never made the calls. He never made the bets.
He made the bets.
Right.
But you can't prove he made the bets. You can't prove he had a phone call with the bookie. You can't prove. Like that's what they can't prove. So it sets up perfectly for Ohtani to have the interpreter be the fall guy. Now, trust me, when this interpreter goes back to Japan, and unless the feds decide to prosecute him here, he's going to be very well taken care of. He's the fall guy. Mm-hmm. So when he goes back over there, you're never going to hear another word about this guy. So he's not going to be prosecuted over in Japan. He's not going to be whatever. He's just going to skid off into the sunset, slide in another interpreter. Now, will Ohtani stop gambling? Well, when you're down the amount of money that he's down betting soccer, you're a degenerate.
Yeah.
He's a degenerate. Full he's blown. A complete and yeah. utter degenerate.
Wow. Yeah.
They'll never prove it. They never will. He's right. They'll never be able to because he never had contact. Probably would never
unless
have had contact.
I mean, if there's some sort of paper trail, though, that
could
is
be.
Found in an investigation. Could be. Could be.
That's so. Interesting. There's Brandon Lang on our sister station out in D.C., the Sports Junkies. Ooh. It's tough. You got something on the draft coming up next, the positional data.
Yeah, what exactly is the value of a draft pick, and how does it coincide with the value of a position? And how does that impact your Dallas Cowboys? That's next on 105.3 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Crosstalk, the KNC Masterpiece coming up at 9:40 here on Sean and RJ on 105 The Fan.
Hell of a read there, Peyton. What a great job this week by you.
Thank you. Yes, if only you could speak during the Sean Sharif.
I still can't get over Entourage.
It was spelled wrong on my
the
screen.
Movie, the show Entourage, yeah. Entourage. It's one of the better things you've said all your life. You are a treat, man. You are
I am
a
walking
treat.
YouTube content, man.
Lucius isn't here this week, right? It's Chris?
Yeah, it's Chris.
All right, I got to send that to Chris for a G-bag.
That is phenomenal.
No, please don't.
You're a treat, brother. We love you.
Ryan
we
probably has you. It on YouTube already.
We do. I mean this genuinely. Look, everybody, I said this while he's out. I'll say it while he's here, whatever. Peyton's very good at his job. He genuinely is really, really good at his job.
Thank you.
He's also the most naturally funny person I know.
Unintentionally, because
unintentionally he's not, and intentionally both. he's
trying to be.
He is. I don't think I laugh harder talking to anybody than I do with Peyton. Peyton cracks me up.
You're the neighbor that like the handyman neighbor just sees you outside, just shakes his head. Oh my god, what are we doing?
This guy's still around.
He walks over. He has to walk over and like just give you unsolicited advice. Because I was that guy too.
And he calls you son.
Son. Listen here.
What are you doing here, son?
Yeah.
Son, let me give you a nickel's worth of free advice.
I'm a fun guy.
I see a lot of me in you. I see a lot of me in you there, Peyton. Back when I was 27. I had no idea. No idea what I was doing.
Did you have a mustache too?
I had a goatee.
Oh yeah, I've seen those photos.
I had a goatee then.
Those promo photos, yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunate days. All right, what do we got here?
All right, so Daniel Salib, a NFL blogger, he does some different stuff. He's big into salary cap, you know, research and other things, and he's an NFL blogger. And every year he comes out with the average draft round of the 10 highest paid players at every position in the NFL. And I think you're going to like what this research has to say, RJ Choppy. So this is the highest paid players in 2024 after free agency, and this excludes franchise tags. So if you get the tag slapped on you because somebody just wants to, you know, hold you in place, this is about people who get long-term deals, long-term extensions. And this speaks to the idea that you've had, Chop, that you've got to spend first-round resources on quarterbacks. If you want success, you got to spend a first-round resource on a quarterback, because the average draft round of the 10 highest-paid quarterbacks in the NFL is 1.4, and that is the highest of any position group.
So that means they're averaging the fourth overall pick?
No, that means that they're averaging like 1.4. So like there's some of them who are there like the second or third round. So it comes out to be one, but it's first round is basically what it averages.
But what's the 0.4?
Basically, it just means that like instead of if you have a first round pick and it's, you know, basically it would mean that with the 10 highest paid, that means that collectively, cumulatively, their rounds came out to be 14. So that means most of them were first round picks. Maybe there was a fourth rounder there, and it cumulatively added up to 14. So when you divide it by 10, it comes out to 1.4. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying here? Okay. And so the highest, basically what we're saying here.
So 1.5 would be 16 because it's halfway through the round.
Right. So there's only three positions that the 10 highest paid players at the position average being picked in the first round.
Okay.
Quarterback is number one, and tied at number two is edge rusher, which makes sense. Yep. Top picked edge rushers.
And receiver.
This is the one that might throw you off a little bit. No, in fact, we're going to get to that in a second.
The 10 highest paid.
So the 10 highest at their position. So the 10 highest paid quarterbacks, 10 highest paid edge rushers, 10 highest paid wide receivers. What generally did they average as the round they were picked in? And
oh, wait. Was it linebacker because they have outside linebacker?
Interior defensive lineman. So defensive tackle is a position you don't necessarily want to pay for or you don't want to use draft resources on. If you want one of the 10 best, you generally are going to have to pick them the first round. So if you, when you look at the 10 best player or the 10 highest paid players at each position, it's quarterback, edge rusher, and defensive tackle are the only ones that on average are picked in the first round when you look at the 10 highest paid. After that, you go behind that. Ooh. Left tackle and right tackle average out to be the second round. Then it's offensive guard. Interestingly enough, running back. Because I think what do you do with running backs generally? You pick them in the first round, you run them ragged, then they get a big deal, and then they fall off, right? Here's where it gets interesting. There is a sharp decline when you get back a little ways. The average draft position of the 10 highest paid receivers in the NFL is the third round.
What?
Yeah. So you can wait on receiver a little bit. It's not like it. And I mean, we think about some of the top receivers who have gone recently, you know, who don't work out. Kevin White, famously. Devontae Parker, who I know you had a story about Devontae Parker where he's gotten to the
this
point
is
where
great.
Give it to us. What are the Patriots
so,
doing?
The Patriots are giving away his jersey for free.
That's
now, they
sad.
Are embracing the out with the old, in with the new, I guess. So they're giving away his jersey. Now, he played 26 games across two seasons. He signed a one-year deal with Philly. So they've got his jersey at the pro shop. And you can go in the pro shop and buy a Devontae Parker jersey for $0. $0.
Can't even get a bowl of chowder for $0.
No, you can't. You can't, which, by the way,
are they giving away for free so people like burn them? Like, boo, Devontae Parker.
No,
does anybody care about Devontae Parker?
Just get rid of the inventory, I guess.
Yeah, because who's going to want to, who will buy it? Nobody's going to buy a Devontae Parker jersey normally, you would think.
No, I mean, you probably get one for like 10 bucks. Maybe somebody sell it for 5-10 bucks. Give it to TJ Maxx, man. They'll sell it.
But when you look at the highest paid receivers in the NFL, so like, let's think about who some of them are. Devontae Adams was not a first-round pick.
Tyreek was what,
Tyreek Hill was not a first-round pick. And so, generally, the highest-paid guys, CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, these guys have kind of broken a trend recently of first-round receivers who had not, like, hit the way that you would want. In fact, I think there was a time where it was something like up until 2019, like from 2015 to 2019, the only first-round receiver taken who had made a Pro Bowl even was Amari Cooper. That had been it. And so the hit rate on receivers had not been good for quite a long time. But what's interesting here is you go back to the very back, and the average draft position that is on the back end of this scale aggressively averaging picked in the fourth round, the top 10, the 10 highest paid linebackers are paid, or their average draft position was the fourth round, and the 10 highest paid centers were picked in the fourth round is their average draft position, which is interesting because left tackle, right tackle, guard, those are all clustered together as like, hey, this is where you pick them, this is where they're valuable. Center's a different position. Would that give you any pause, knowing that, Chop? Would that give you any pause in this idea that the Cowboys are looking at now of, well, hey, I mean, let's say we do move Tyler Smith to tackle. We can play TJ Bassett guard. Let's use our first-round pick on getting a center. Given what this says here, that the average, like the 10 highest-paid centers, the average draft position for was the fourth round, does that give you any pause to say, well, that sounds like a waste of resources then?
I don't know about that. I think that's just a byproduct of the position being not valued appropriately in the league, just like I think defensive tackle is. I went and looked because you said that's the third. The average draft pit position of the top 10 paid defensive tackles is first.
Mm-hmm.
These are the teams.
You're about to say how bad their team building strategies are.
Chiefs, they win. Vegas doesn't. Baltimore wins. Jets, Titans, Washington, Giants, Indy, San Fran, they win. Washington. So three teams.
But if those teams didn't sign, somebody else was going to. They just went over the top and paid more. But somebody else is going to keep them around top 10 highest paid.
Yeah. So it could be bad teams. I mean, you could have all 10 of them being on bad teams.
Sure.
And that's the point. Bad teams go down that road. The Chiefs could get away with it.
So this says, though, this would say, because, I mean, look, you can see on this chart, Chop. Mm-hmm. First round, quarterback, defensive tackle, edge rusher. There is a massive correlation for receiver and tight end being taken around the third round and center and linebacker in the fourth round.
I think tight end's an undervalued position. I think it's starting to change a little bit. You know, we saw Pitts at the top 10. We're going to see Bowers. Bowers will be the top 10, right?
You would think there's some people who feel like he's too short. Some people think he's not big enough, but I mean, he's going in the top 20. He's an incredible. If you want to talk about the best tape I've seen of any player in the draft this year, it's Brock Bowers against Auburn for Georgia. That's I've never seen a tight end just single-handedly take over a game and win it for somebody like Brock Bowers did against Auburn. But this here would say that you can wait a little bit on center, you can wait a little bit on linebacker, so maybe it doesn't even matter that the Cowboys don't have a fourth-round pick, Chop. And you know what also doesn't matter? Yeah. That the Cowboys haven't done anything in free agency. They're still a better team today than they were at the end of the season if you're to believe Mike McCarthy, who talked to Adam Schefter yesterday about Shefty. The Cowboys' inactivity in free agency.
I'm a big believer in a second and third-year jump. You know, we have some young players. We got some guys coming back off of IR that were young players that we're excited about. So we are definitely improving. You know, we're just not part of the free agent market right now.
So is that what Cowboys fans can hang their hat on, the fact that there are guys coming back that are going to be getting better because people keep waiting for the Cowboys to make moves?
Well, I think that, and also, there's a lot left. So, I mean, it's, you know, you'll probably have a market right before the draft or post-draft, and then you got your June 1st market, and, you know, obviously we'll have another draft class, so I have great confidence in our roster.
Big June 1st market. Big June 1st. Big. Love those June 1st players.
Look, the Cowboys had zero interest in paying. They talked about their comfort level of paying $4 yes. million dollars to Zach Moss. But by God, they're going to get in on these high-priced free agents who are June 1 cuts. That'll happen.
Those June 1 cuts, man, you got to have them.
What an awful quote, though. Like, you know how DeMarcus Lawrence probably didn't actually mean we were tired? He was just grasping for some answer to give when he didn't know what to say, right? Mike McCarthy probably didn't mean what he said, but don't say we're definitely improving. There's zero evidence that you're definitely improving at this point, and it just comes off as...
Unless it's addition by subtraction.
It comes off as propaganda that the fans don't want to hear. They do want to. Stephen Jones, to his credit, has given the line of like, I understand it's hard for you guys to trust us right now because we haven't come through in the playoffs like we need to. Like, at least have that line of thinking, not, well, we're definitely improving. You don't have to defend everything you do. Say we got to get better. Say those things. Like, we need to get better, and we're going to do that. And a big part of that plan is going to be the draft. You just say, hey, look, we just come at it from a different angle. But don't say we're definitely improving. Get out of here with that.
Same as all in. All in, screw the whole thing up. They never said all in. If he said I'm all in on this year's roster, then that's all that matters. That's all he should have said. He never should have said all in and leave it up to us to figure out what all in means.
Jerry said, read my lips. All in.
The KNC masterpiece, KMC, I'm sorry, is coming up next on Sean and RJ with Bobby on 105 Through the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Burke tries again, and there's a ball driven deep out into left field. Carter going back. He turns to look, and it is off the wall, the back wall. Home run for Trevor Story. He cleared the front wall, didn't quite make it into the people. For Story, a two-run blast that gives Boston a 6-1 lead.
Oh, man. It felt good getting baseball back.
You like that score, did you?
I mean, it's spring training. Fair. I don't care about the score. When I used to do updates, like over at ESPN, and it was spring training. I didn't even give the score of spring training games. I just said they played or they won or lost.
Oh.
Some stats. The score doesn't matter.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
They didn't have the internet back then. You had to wait for the paper to print the next day, and so you didn't know what the score was all the
inaccurate.
Time.
Inaccurate. That's not very inaccurate. Yeah. Ask you, how did it feel to be out
some
there?
Some radio shows still do it like that.
I know.
It was good. It was fun. Got to work with Dave Raymond for the first time for a whole game, and getting ready for Saturday, the first broadcast for Valley Sports Southwest. Because Thursday, if you're ready for Rangers baseball, Thursday's on ESPN.
Yes, and Thursday is also right here on 105.3. The Fan. Coverage begins at 6 p.m. on Thursday. It also begins pregame 5:30 on Saturday.
Wyatt Lankford look?
Bad.
In person, how is it different? You're higher. Different setting.
Yeah, he looks a lot smaller from where I'm at this ballpark, if you're looking at surprise. But I thought when he hit the ball to the warning track off of the bat, I thought it was a home run. Because when Trevor Story hit his, I thought it was a double in the gap or maybe off the wall, and it carried out. And so I thought, this looks very similar. Now, the tough thing is when you're that far away, you don't get a great idea. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
When you're where you're at calling the game at Globe Life, you're so far away that you don't get a great sense immediately off the bat. So you're like, that looks really good. And then you track the outfielder and see there's certain, I think, especially in surprise, when you're that close, you have a much better idea when the ball's hit off the bat, if it's a homer or not.
We had Sandler on. We were talking about, because if you look at the schedule, they know their first six pitching opponents, and the Rangers don't have anybody listed after Nate. Like, nobody listed.
What's interesting today, because I have no clue if this is going to happen, but it said John Gray and Dane Dunning pitching today. But if you pitch today, then you wouldn't be ready for Saturday. Sunday, it matches up perfectly. If you wanted to throw, let's say, five innings today, or six, like Whitlock did.
What if they throw, like...
It could throw two innings let's say Gray throws two innings today.
It's a throw day, then? It's same as a throw day?
Well, yeah, you'd be a little bit... Yeah.
Unless you go into Gray on Saturday and say, hey, just give us 80 pitches.
Yeah.
Pitch five, which they probably wouldn't do.
I don't think so. I mean, the good thing is the off day on Friday, even though it's weird, usually they do that just in case you have bad weather on opening day. You can move it to the next day, but it's impossible to have bad weather because of the roof.
They never open. Yep. The Rangers really don't play a game where they have to worry about the weather until Detroit. Like, it's like April 15th.
Hell
They've got a pretty good schedule to start with.
But your bullpen will be well-rested on Saturday, I assume. If Evaldi goes, let's just say, I'll just throw out five innings.
You pitch, why not nine?
You pitch four. I hope he does. But you pitch four innings out of relief, and then the next day's off. So then everybody who pitched on Thursday, you would assume would be ready on Saturday to pitch. But you're going to use your pen quite a bit. The first 30 games, I've said this, 22 winning opponents. I guess I shouldn't say opponents, but out of your first 30 games through the month of April, your first 30 games, you're playing a team over 500, 22 out of your 30 games.
They have two 10-game road trips before May 12th. That's stupid. That's stupid.
That sets up good for the end of the season, though. I guess so, right? Whenever we get the cavalry in.
The weird thing is, and I know it's always tough with schedule, but you usually want to, in April, like Boston starts off on a 10-game road trip because they're like, look, playing baseball in April up in the Northeast can be
awful.
Yeah, you can be 25 degrees for a game or snowing. And so it's interesting that the Rangers wouldn't have a lot more home games in April and May to get teams out of the weather situation that they're in.
Every team in the South or with a roof should be at home for the first
two, three weeks. Be weatherproof. Yeah,
pretty good. Even Atlanta. Like, you may get rain. Atlanta may get some rain, but it's like, oh,
I heard a lot of folks
make it rain in Atlanta. Yeah, they do.
What are y'all talking about?
Strip club capital of the world.
I really didn't expect you to say it that way.
But I guess Vegas would have a good claim for that.
Too. Vegas is a good claim. But, I mean, look, those strip clubs, man, they've got good food. They got really good food.
What was that drop?
Really good
food. That wasn't a drop. Corey just said it.
What's coming up on the show, Corey Majors?
Man, I'm really excited about the first one because the Mavs are at it, baby. If they play the Jazz every game for the rest of the year, we got this all
locked
up.
That's a good point. Agreed.
What tier do these Rangers pitchers fall into at 10:20? And Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bacsik at 10:40.
What month is it? That's the question with that.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. We will kind of dive into that as well. And if Corey puts on glasses, he could have a different look during the show.
If they're sunglasses.
I might need to. My left eyeball is just draining tear. Like, it's just one tear after another.
I have pink eye drops. You need any?
It's not pink eye.
Why does that not surprise me?
So, Chop, unlike you, whenever I have allergy problems, I show up to work, right?
Yeah. Sir, listen. If I had just a watery eye and I didn't lose my voice, I had no voice.
Well, I did do a 30-second read, and I could actually get through it.
Yeah, he practiced to read at home.
I just did it, so I better go indoor. I feel like Dookie today, though, and it's a little chilly in here. Why do y'all got it so cold?
I don't feel like it is that cold in here right now. It was cold this morning.
Are you embarrassed? I need more blankets.
Are you embarrassed?
I need more blankets then. More blankets and less blankets at the same time.
So I'm sure you guys have seen the wild Baltimore bridge video this morning, which we still don't
I
have.
Haven't seen the video.
I haven't seen the video.
Ryan. I was driving. Dude. I heard about it, though.
Ryan, you got to put the video up.
Oh, do we?
Oh,
did anybody
God.
Die?
No, I mean, it's been everywhere. They don't have a lot of details yet. WTKR News 3 in Virginia is the one that had it up. But, this was
like an active bridge that people were driving across.
It happened at 1:30 in the morning in Baltimore. The Francis Scott Key Bridge.
The Osage Bridge.
Yes, that's the one.
I have not seen the video. I heard about it.
No, and it's this thing. So it's this, what was it? Is a shipping container?
So this container ship.
Right here. Okay, see?
From Singapore.
Bumps into it.
Oh, my God.
It lost power twice.
Yeah, it'll keep looping.
Holy crap, dude.
It loses power.
It just looks like
it keeps drifting in, and then it just, this thing, that looked like it was out of a bad episode of 24.
Oh, my gosh.
24 didn't have any bad episodes, but that looked like it was from a made-for-TV disaster film.
Yeah,
anything involving Kim and
there it is. It essentially just, it looks like it just drifts into it. And it just, I mean, it went.
Oh.
But it did like, I mean, so they still don't know how many people are missing.
There were cars on the bridge.
So they said, initial reports say 7 cars, 20 people, 5 construction workers.
Good God.
Were unaccounted for. They were looking for them or something like that. They've already recovered like 2 people.
And that just that ship just ran into one of
it
the pillars.
It lost
there?
Power Twice. And just drifted right into the thing. Oh, like
it lost power, recovered, lost, and then there was smoke. Lost power again. And then recovered, but it recovered too late.
to get out of the way.
To get out of the way. It had already kind of started to drift.
I guess that ship now, there weren't there very quickly.
It's three football fields.
And it went right into the pillar, too.
Right.
Yeah. It didn't go like underneath and just kind of, you know,
There were, if you watch the video.
You might not have to keep looping it.
If you watch the video for the first like 20 seconds before it runs in, you do see, like, they were fortunate. There were a bunch of cars that did clear the bridge before it got it. There were a lot of cars.
So they like saw something was.
There was just, I mean, a lot of it. No, there were a lot of them that just fortunately had just gone by.
Oh,
before
okay.
It
and
ran
so if this would have happened,
yeah.
just a little bit. Oh my god!
You imagine having no idea, you're just driving along, doo doo doo. You can't really see over, and all of a sudden,
yeah.
bottom. It's
how
like,
are you
whoa.
Supposed to prepare for that?
You can't. There's no preparing for that.
But it synced up. Today's Tuesday, so we do Ask Reddit. It also synced up with like the question we had during Ask Reddit this morning, which was like, what is you don't know which one I'm about to ask. What is the first news story you remember as a kid? I have no clue what you thought I was
going
to ask.
Baby Jessica?
No.
Challenger.
So Baby Jessica was one we had gotten. Challenger. The first one I remember was Oklahoma City.
Challenger?
Yeah.
Challenger,
86?
86.
That would've, you were older than me.
Mikey, you remember the first news story?
Both of those.
Challenger.
I can remember both of those. They're probably the major ones in my early life.
Yeah. The first one I have like a memory where like I actually, like I have pictures in my head of Baby Jessica and the Challenger, the pictures in my head. But like, the first one I remember, like, were like, I could like detail the account. It's probably the OJ chase. I was 15. Like, I
could see that.
You know, where you could detail it. Other than that, it's just like fleeting memories. I was too in my own world anyway back then to pay attention to anything.
I just remember Baby Jessica was on the news like every night, and your parents would watch
the
news.
She was in
the
well. She'd fall in the well.
Yeah. And every day my mom was watching the news, and I was like, oh man. What's the story with this?
You didn't know what it was about. You just remember it existing.
Yeah, and then I would like watch it bits and pieces because I guess I was 5 or 6, probably. I have to check the date on that.
That was back in the days where like if there was something, a tragedy that happened, you just like watch the tragedy, you felt sorry for the person. Now it's like, oh, is it real?
Okay,
I still feel sorry for those people.
Is it fake? No, but like they were thinking, oh, what happened? This is fake.
Oh, no, a lot of times you don't have those thoughts anymore, yeah.
A lot of times I just go, I'll catch up on the made-for-TV movie. Because it's going to happen.
Oh, no.
That was the thing back then was they were like, well, they had Baby Jessica made-for-TV movie.
They just had Lifetime. Lifetime just came out as a channel. It had to make a movie about it.
I remember, so OKC is the first one I remember is like a story. Like where I just remember, I remember the story and I remember what happened. The one where I remember like details, I remember sitting there watching it unfold was Diana. That was the one that I remember, like when she had crashed in London.
Yeah, I guess.
She crashed in Paris, didn't she?
I don't remember that. I mean, I definitely know what happened with the paparazzi chasing her and stuff. I don't remember that one as vividly as some of the other ones that
you mentioned. Happened at like what, 1 a.m. or something? U.S. time. It happened at like a weird hour here.
And I guess I just like all the other things you listed. Like obviously Oklahoma City is very close to here, and I guess I wasn't as in tune with. Like the royals and the monarchy over there. I just heard about it and I knew it was a big deal.
The Gulf War consumed a lot of my time.
A lot of people.
That's an interesting answer.
I feel like there were a lot of nights where I didn't, whatever show I was going to watch, I ended up just watching whatever, like, and just seeing the green lights, you know, flashing. Because that was the first time we get to see the night vision stuff.
I became like when I was really young, we had a neighbor that worked over at Public Storage. Okay. And when they left those storage units vacated, after a certain amount of time, they got to just claim stuff or whatever else.
Yeah.
And so he had brought back a trash bag of like every Cowboys game that was broadcast from like 1990 to like 95 on VHS. And he gave it to me.
Oh, cool.
And so I like watched all those as a kid, and it had a bunch of like. Whoever it was that recorded this recorded like the news reports during the week of like the sports reports. So I had all the background and everything for that. But like, I remember just there are a bunch of those games that you watch back then that in the middle of a commercial break of the game, it's like, bum, 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 and it's like just cut over. And it's like, here's it. We got an update. Here's an update on what's going on out here. And so that one was just, I mean, that was embedded everywhere.
Yeah,
I just wanted to hear you do that
downer.
Song, do the song again.
Dun, 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 dun. Like that. And then Peter Jennings at the desk.
Uh-huh, very good. The internet ruined everything. We got it all at the top, and now we're all cynical about it, and it's kind of the way it is.
Some of us more than others.
Does that mean you believe Ohtani, or are you cynical about the? Because I already know how your co-host feels.
I mean, look, I think that is he betting on the games? I don't know if he's betting on the games.
He thinks Ohtani's AI. He doesn't even think Ohtani's a real person.
I think that
I could see that.
I definitely think it's at minimum. Yeah. At minimum, he helped his buddy out. At worst. I don't think this was wire fraud. Or like, I don't think he stole the money.
You just said at minimum and then said at worst.
Whatever. Minimum and the worst, I think, is the same thing, right?
In this particular situation, I believe they're the exact opposite.
No. Okay. Well, at worst, because I usually think minimum is worse. At worst, they call it worst wage. At worst, he paid the buddy off. He paid the buddy's debt.
Okay.
At worst.
Okay.
Like, he didn't get the money stolen.
All right.
So, can't see masterpiece next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.